Let's turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1 or 11. We're talking about the series is not of this world. You know, Jesus, when he was praying for his disciples, he said, he was praying to the Father. He said, my disciples are no more of this world than I am of this world. And so we're just trying to paint a picture of what someone looks like who is not of this world. Someone who operates not of this world. Who has a faith that is not of the world. Who believes with belief that is not of this world. Next week we're going to be talking about joy and peace that is not of this world. Amen? Because how many of you guys know that we are limited? You guys ever notice that you have limitations? Boy, there's such arrogance in this room. Look at you. Nobody raising their hands at all. It's crazy. Somebody got her hand. There you go. We all have limitations. If I was limitless, then I would transport myself to Tennessee real quick so I could see my wife and kids. But I can't do that. Thank God for Skype. That's all I can say. Thank God it's free, all right? So, but we're talking about a faith that is not of this world. You can believe all you want to. You can put all your moxie, all your strength, all your power, all your focus, all your ambitions, all your money, everything that you have into a certain thing. But what you will soon find is that everything that you have, your best efforts, your best faith, your best try at it is limited at best. We are limited people. There's only certain things that we can do. Amen? And so, but when we tap into a God that is limitless, then there is nothing that we cannot believe for that God will not do. Amen? You see, the point of having a faith that is not of this world is to first realize that we can't do it all by ourselves. It's impossible for us to do it all by ourselves. Because even though that we may feel like that we can just put a bow in our back and straighten up and just do it, we don't have enough faith. We don't have enough strength. We don't have enough moxie. We don't have enough energy to do it all by ourselves. And so we want to talk about Hebrews today, 11. This is the faith chapter. I love this chapter. So, Father, this morning, I thank you for each and every person that is here today. I pray, Father, that you would establish your word in their hearts. I pray, Father, that you would establish faith in their hearts. God, that they would realize that in you we live and move and have our being. In you, Father, we find all there is to know about faith, all there is to know about understanding who you are. And so, Father, we choose today to tap into you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, Hebrews 11, 1. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what we do not see. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Hebrews 11, 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek after him. Now, faith is being sure. Everybody say sure. You ever been sure about something and it just not pan out? You're so sure. I've been so sure about a lot of things and it's come back to bite me in the end. For instance, one of the worst financial decisions I ever made in my life was to buy a boat. My wife, we had come into a little money, and I'd been saving, and I could take a portion of that money and buy, and there was a boat. I was real careful about what boat I was going to buy because I wanted to know that it was from a reputable person, which I'd known this guy for, he was one of my best friends. I knew the boat. I'd been in the boat. He had that boat for 8 years, not a lick of trouble with it at all. So did my research, went out in it, had a great time, gave him the money, went down to the courthouse did all the paperwork, got in my boat, and the motor blows up. So, first outing too, by the way. So, here I am with a boat that floats, but no motor to push the boat that floats. I was so sure. I did my homework. I didn't buy it from some stranger that I didn't know. I knew the boat, but I was so sure of it. But in the end, even my best efforts came to bite me in the rear end at the end. That ever happened to you? Sure has happened to me before. I could go on and on and on too, but I'm not going to. But the Bible says faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. And so the Bible says also, and without faith it is impossible to please God. In other words, if we want to please God, we have got to come to the end of ourselves. Not an easy thing to do, is it? Coming to the end of ourselves. To say, Lord, sometimes it's a very hard thing to say, I can't do it. Lord, I can't do it. I've tried hard. All my best efforts have failed. And so, Lord, here's what we do. How many of you guys have ever think about the spare tire in your car or truck? I mean, whenever you get in the car, you think, man, I got a good spare tire. Nobody. A couple of years ago, I had my truck up at a tire shop, and I asked the guy to look at my spare tire. Didn't even know how to get the thing out of my truck. And so he had to show me how to get the spare tire out. There's a rod in the front that you had to put in the back that goes to this thing and that thing and the other, and it cranks down. And I would have never known had I been in the tire shop how to take that stupid thing off. And so, but when you get into your car, you don't think about your spare tire. And sometimes we use God like a spare tire, to where we've tried everything and we've done this and done that, and in the end, when we're broke down on the side of the road, we say, oh yeah, there's God. I forgot about that. And sometimes we don't even know where the jack is in our car. We don't know how to get the jack out. We don't know how to take the spare tire and how it comes down and all these, because they're fashioned in all kinds of different ways in all kinds of different trucks and cars and vehicles. But when we find ourselves shut down on the side of the road, then we begin to think, oh yeah, there's God. I forgot about that. Let's bring it up to the Lord. And it's the last thing that we do. But in a believer's life, a person that is operating in the operation of not of this world, it is the first thing that they should do. When we make decisions, well, I remember whenever I first got saved, I was dating this girl, and I just remember everybody liked to pray about everything all the time. And I was saying, good grief, I like to pray about everything. And so we were going to Florence to go shopping, which Florence is about, it's an hour away. And so went to pick her up, and her mother said, well, let's grab hands and let's pray. And I was like, geez, what we got to pray every single time for? And her mother caught my attitude, I think, because it was a little obvious. And she said, Jimmy, the reason why we pray is for God's safety. I don't want to take for granted that God's going to protect you. I want to pray and ask Him to specifically guard your lives on the way up there and on the way back. And who can argue with that? See, she was operating in a faith that's not of this world. I was operating in myself, who said, I'm a good driver. I'm going to take care of your daughter. Well, she didn't believe that. She wanted to put a little extra angels on either side. And so she began to pray. And so those things began to teach me that I need to start operating in faith that is not of this world, in a life that is not of this world. Because the Bible says that we're peculiar people. Notice I didn't say weird. But peculiar people. Peculiar means different. There's something different about you. I remember whenever I was working for Delta Airlines, there was this guy, and he was about this tall. And he was one of the vilest people I've ever met in my life. I mean, constantly telling dirty jokes, constantly loud and boisterous, always in the middle of stuff, in the mix of stuff. And I liked him, but he was annoying. And so I was praying. I said, Lord, show me how to deal with this guy. Show me what to do. And so one day, he and I paired up on a flight. And we were sitting in the bin of an airplane, waiting on luggage to come up so that we could stack it in there. And he was sitting there, and this was a couple of months after I'd worked there, and he said, we weren't talking at all, and here's how he breaks the silence. What's different about you? And I said, what do you mean? He goes, well, there's something different about you, and I can't figure it out yet. And I said, well, do you really want to know? And he said, I really want to know. And I said, it's the Lord. It's Jesus. And he said, I knew it. He said, I knew you were a Christian. And I said, yeah. I said, that's it. And he said, well, how come you haven't been telling me not to say those bad jokes and showing those pictures and all those different things? And I said, well, I figured that you'd probably make a spectacle out of all of it, and I just didn't want to deal with it. And I said, I've been praying for you. I want you to know I've been specifically praying that God would touch your heart, would touch your life. And he goes, you've been praying that for me? And I said, yeah, I've been praying that for you. And by that time, the conveyor belt started, and we began to put luggage on the conveyor belt into the bin of the airplane. But the world needs to know that you are peculiar people, that there's something different, something noticeably different about you, a difference that is beneficial, not weird. Something that a faith that is different and not flaky. Something that is tangible for people to see and touch and feel. That there's something real about you. Not that your attendance in church impresses them, but the way you live your life speaks to them. Amen? You see, we get ourselves wrapped up in impressing people so much with whatever. We want people to like us, but the thing is, we need to live our life in such a way that it reaches and speaks to people. I don't care much about impressing people. I'm not a very flashy guy. I feel weird about this computer even being up here, but it is what it is. But you know, I want my life to speak to somebody. I want my life to make a difference. I don't want to be weird. I don't want to be flaky. I don't want to be super spiritual or spooky spiritual. What I want to be is I want my life to speak to somebody. I want my life to matter. I want the faith that I have to be not of this world. I want it to be not something conjured up by Jimmy McDonald, but that is established in my heart by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen? Something that is not of this world. Let's look at verse 4. Hebrews 11, verse 4. Let's look at some people that operated this way. It says, by faith, everybody say by faith. Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, everybody say by faith. He was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And catch this, and by faith, say by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. And then it says, and by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. You know, I was thinking about that this week. He speaks even though he's dead. What does that mean? You know, last week I shared that my dad died back in November. November the 7th. And I was contemplating about what to put on his headstone. And something came to mind. And it's this, a father who outlived his life. A father who outlived his life. Abel's faith speaks to us today because his faith outlived his life. It still speaks to us today. You know, we get into our religious routines where we come and we worship, we come and we hear, we come and we give, and we come and give of our time and stuff like that, and we're good Christians, we're obedient, we do all the things that we're supposed to do, but one thing we lack is doing things by faith. Because all the things that we can do by ourselves. You know what? I can build a church almost entirely without God. I'm just going to let you let that sink in just for a second. You put dynamic worship up here, which I believe that we have. You put up here a speaker that can rouse a crowd up. You put people that are talented and full of wisdom concerning children and all these different things, and you put them in a place and you conjure up this emotion and feeling and all these different things, and you can do it, and you can convince an entire congregation that God's in the place, and really what's in the place is your wisdom, your understanding, your conjuring up, your faith, your talent, and all those different things. But the problem is that you're limited. You're not God. The problem is that he's not in the building. It's kind of like Samson. Samson fooled around with Delilah so much. And every single time he was getting closer and closer to telling her what his strength was. Well, if you tie my hands up, well, if you tie and bind my feet, if you do this and if you do that. And every time she would wake him up and say, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And he'd wake up and break his bonds and he would go free and kick some butt. But at the end, he started dabbling a little closer and he said, well, if you cut my hair, then I'll be like anybody else. And Samson, Delilah said, wake up, the Philistines are upon you. And he woke up and listened to what the Bible says. He said he tried to shake it off like he had done before. But he didn't realize that the Spirit of God had left him. See, Samson had been operating in his own understanding, in his own strength, in his own power for so long that he didn't even realize that God had left him. And so many times we operate within ourselves, within our own strength, so much that we don't even realize that the Spirit of God has left us. That we don't realize that the Spirit of God is nowhere to be found because we have pushed him out with our own understanding. We've pushed him out this way with our own strength, with our own wisdom, with our limited wisdom at best, with our limited strength at best, with our limited knowledge at best, to where faith no longer abides. Where trust no longer abides. We're full of, listen to me, we're full of religion. We know how to do church. But the problem is, we have allowed faith to escape us. And today, I encourage you, let everything that you do be done with faith. Abel, even though it was a sacrifice, the Bible says he did it by faith. He did it by faith. Let's go on. Verse 7. By faith, Noah. Everybody say, by faith. By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. Now, let's look real quick at what Noah did. Let's turn over here to Genesis chapter 6 real quick. That was kind of an understatement. Did you know that when God spoke to Noah, he was 500 years old? So much for enjoying your golden years, right? 500 years old. Did you know that when God spoke to Noah, that it never rained before? Now, let's look at Genesis 6, verse 15. This is how you are to build it. Now, by the way, God didn't ask him to build a little venture boat like I had. A little 16-footer, little John boat, something smaller than that. You know, God didn't give him a kit that was already pre-built. All you had to do was put the screws in. That's not what God told him to do. Listen to this. It says, this is how you are to build it, God is speaking to him. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. That's some craziness right there. Now look, Noah couldn't go down to the lumber yard and get pre-assembled wood. He couldn't go get 2x4s. He had to cut down trees. He had to do everything by hand. Amen? This wasn't something, some small little boat he was going to build. This was something enormous. Do you know it took him about 100 years? That's a long time to think about what you're doing, isn't it? Building a boat, and it never even rained before. Never even rained before. Can you imagine what people were saying to Noah? Crazy Noah? Look at him, 500 years old. What is he doing? He's cutting down all these trees. He's ruined his property. What? His sons are getting sucked into this craziness. And all of a sudden, and all the while, for that 100 years, Noah was trying to convince the people the judgment was coming. He was faithful to what God had told him to do. And sometimes when God tells you to do something that is crazy, something is beyond your capability, something that's beyond your understanding, something is that you feel is beyond your grasp, physically, humanly impossible, you hold on to what God has told you to do and do it no matter what else tells you to do, what else anybody else tells you to do. Amen? When God speaks to your heart, be obedient to His word. And the only way that you can trust and obey, the only way that you can trust God is by faith. There is no other way. Now, if I was Noah, I would be like, did you say 450 feet long? That's a big boat. That's a big boat. And then on top of that, he said, I want you to gather all the animals 2x2. Why don't you guys go on outside and try to do that right now? Go ahead and gather every animal 2x2 and see what happens. But you see, Noah had a clear word from the Lord. And he was obedient for all of those years. And when all of a sudden rain began to fall down and mud puddles began to fall onto the ground, and little children began to splash in the mud puddles, and everybody was looking up in the sky and seeing that it was raining, and probably some celebration going on because they had never seen such a thing in all their lives. They wouldn't have been celebrating if they would have been listening. Because Noah, as it was raining, the animals were coming in 2x2. His family were coming into the ark, and the door was slammed shut. And Noah's faith was vindicated because God was faithful. And you see, whenever you are obedient to what God has told you to do, no matter if you don't understand it or not, there was a lady. She had tried to win her husband to the Lord for 40 years. Faithful woman of God. Faithful woman of God. He was a good man. He just didn't want anything to do with church. He didn't want to do anything with God or anything else. And so she said, Lord, for 40 years, she'd had it. She said, Lord, for 40 years, I've believed, I've prayed, I've begged, and I've done everything I know to do to win my husband. And I don't know what else to do. Lord, tell me what I'm supposed to do. Her husband went away to Florida on a trip, and he decided to do some sightseeing. And he was driving downtown. And in another office building, there was a man, a solid man of God, heard the voice of the Lord tell him to get up and go out on the road and hitchhike. All right? Here's a man in his office doing his work, busy man, godly man, but he heard the voice of the Lord clearly say, go out to such and such road, put your thumb up and hitchhike. And he's like, oh, man, Lord, this is crazy. Why do you want me to do this? And he said, just trust me. Go do it. So he took his laptop and closed it, went outside, They were saying, "Hey, Frank, where are you going?" He goes, "Not quite sure yet." So he went out to the corner and looked around and stuck his thumb up. And as soon as he did, this woman's husband came to the corner, pulled over, and said, "Hey, you need a ride?" And he goes, "Yeah, I guess I do." And he said, "Where are you going?" He goes, "Well, where are you going?" He said, "Well, I'm going up the street here, and I'm sightseeing. I'm not around here. I'm not from here." He said, "Oh, okay." And he said, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" And he goes, "Well, what is it?" And he said, "I know that I'm supposed to be here to talk to you about the Lord." And he said, "Have you ever accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior?" Guy pulled over into a parking lot and just broke down, started weeping and crying. And he said, "You know, my wife has been praying for me for 40 years and have never given in. But I know today that God has sent you to me, and so I want to receive Christ as my Lord and Savior." So he prayed for him. He drove him back to his office. And the husband went down the road and was killed in a car wreck. His wife got the news from a policeman, said that your husband had been killed, but he had never told his wife because he didn't have time, because he was killed right after that. The man heard about it, went to the funeral, and his wife thought that all her prayers, all of her fasting, all of her believing was for nothing. And she was wondering and asking God, "Why, Lord, why?" And the very last person to leave the burial place that day was the man that was obedient to the Lord and stuck his thumb out. And he said, "Ma'am, I know you don't know me, but I have a story that I want to tell you." And the man began to tell her the story about him, hearing the voice of the Lord to go outside and stick his thumb up. And then the end result was that your husband came to know the Lord. And she melted, wept hysterically because she realized how faithful and true God is. And I encouraged you last week to live your life like you are not of this world, to live your life supernaturally, to don't discount the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life. Your life matters. Your obedience matters. Because your obedience doesn't just affect you. God has greater plans for your obedience than you can even fathom. That's why he doesn't show us the whole picture. Because it would overwhelm us, wouldn't it? You're not doing that with my life. That's crazy. I can't do that. But if you hear the voice of the Lord tell you to do something, step. Hear him tell you to do something else, step. Be obedient to the voice of the Lord. Have faith that is not of this world. A faith that is beyond your comprehension. A faith that is beyond your understanding. And say, "Lord, I don't understand, but I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey. This makes no sense to me, Lord. This makes no sense to me, Lord. But I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey." Now, I don't encourage anybody to go out to and do that. I'm not encouraging that. But I'm telling you, when the Spirit of the Lord speaks to you, trust and obey. Amen? I want to encourage you today to listen to the voice of the Lord, to lean upon his understanding and not our own. Let's look at some others. Verse 11. By faith, everybody say, by faith, Abraham, even though he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made the promise. You see, Abraham was told years ago that they were going to have children. And he knew that he had heard from God, and so he held on to it. He held on to it. This is verse 8. Let's go back up to verse 8. By faith, Abraham, everybody say, by faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. He obeyed and went. You know what God, what picture God gave me? Me. Went to a place he did not know of, but he trusted and he went anyway. He trusted and obeyed. You know, God will do extraordinary things with your life if you will trust and obey. Trust and obey. We have driven through Green Bay for 15 years going to see my wife's family. 15 years, and never not one time did I ever think in my entire life that I would ever wind up in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Ever. Why would I want to come to Green Bay? I had a good business. I had all my family in Tennessee. I had all my ministry connections there and all throughout the South and across the country. It was my hub. It was where everything was. It was everything familiar to me. But one morning, the Lord spoke to me. And I was either going to be obedient or I was going to trust and obey. Amen? Trust and obey. When God begins to speak to your life, don't think that He can't speak to your life and do extraordinary things, because He can. He can use ordinary things in your life to do extraordinary things if you'll trust and obey. Let faith arise in the church today. Let faith arise in the church today. Amen? So that we're not just coming to church to fulfill our religious duty, but we're coming to church so that our faith may increase, so that the kingdom of God may increase through our obedience. That's the way you should look at your faith. That you're not just going to class. You're not just going to work. You're not just going to the supermarket just to do your ordinary things. Father, use me today. How about that? When you wake up and you've got sleepy in your eyes and you need a cup of coffee to wake up and your kids are not wanting to get out of bed to go to school, trust and obey. When God speaks to you, say, Lord, I know that my crazy life is about to take place. I know things are about to start hopping in my house. But Father, before I get up out of bed, increase my faith today. Use me today for your kingdom and for your good. Amen? God will do it if we trust and obey. Allow your faith to connect with a God that is limitless, and watch what He does with your life. Watch what He does with your obedience. Watch what He does with what you think is ordinary and mundane. Watch and see what God will do. Amen? Connect to a faith that is not of this world. A faith that is beyond your understanding. A faith that is beyond your comprehension. Trust and obey. Because like that old song says, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust and obey. So I want to encourage you today. Live a life that is not of this world. Live a life that goes beyond your understanding, your capabilities. Want to tell you about one more story. Goes into verse 32. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell. All right? By faith. Let's look at verse 32. And what more shall we say? I don't have time to talk about a Gideon, a Barak, or Samson, or Japheth, or David, Samuel, and the prophets. Keep on going. That's all you got in verse 32? All right. All right. Well, it's a pretty long one. All right. Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and floggings, while still others were chained and put into prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheep's clothing and goat skins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. Now you look at all of these people that the Bible just mentioned, and you wouldn't think that there was anything extraordinary about them. Other than one day, they came in contact with a God that was much greater than they. They tapped into a faith that was much greater than them. A faith that not only they tapped into, but was transformed by. And I encourage you today, be transformed by the power of God. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by casting your cares upon Him, because He cares for you. Amen? Let's live our life by faith. Use extraordinary faith to do extraordinary things through ordinary people. Amen? Let's all stand up. In the gospel, God confronts us with our utter inability to accomplish anything of value apart from Him. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Nothing. Notice that in every situation, people that accomplished God's will, they did it by faith. And apart from Him, Jesus lines it out. He doesn't beat around the bush, and He doesn't make it into something that's not comprehensible. Jesus said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If I were to take one of these branches and snap it off, it would no longer be a part of the vine. It would look like it for a while, still have the appearance of a vine, still have a bud on it, still look just like the vine. But you give it a little while and it'll begin to show that it's dead, begin to show that it has no life and of no use." And Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me, I will remain in you. Apart from me, you can do nothing." He made that perfectly clear. But so many times, we disconnect ourselves. We don't mean to. It's not something that we want to do. It's not something that we even set out to do. But it's what happens whenever we just get into the mundane routine of things every single day. Jesus said, "Remain in me. Remain in me." It means whenever your faith feels like it's at its end, tap into a faith that's not of this world. Press in. It's where your faith meets God. It's where the rubber meets the road. You can either give up or give in to God. Amen? I want to give in to God. I want to give in to His will in my life. I want to give in to His faith in my life. I want His Spirit to connect with my spirit. Because the Bible says apart from Him, we can do nothing. We may look like we're doing stuff. We may look like we're doing all kinds of religious stuff, but in the end, it turns out to be nothing. Connect with Him. Allow your faith to connect with His boundless faith so that through us, we can do extraordinary things. Amen? Would you come up? Let's all bow our heads. Father, I come before You, and I thank You, Lord, that You are endless, You are boundless. Father, there is no end to You. But Father, if I'm truthful with myself, I realize that I am so sorely flawed and limited. If I'm honest with myself, Lord, I am limited at best. Father, you hold the keys to heaven and earth, life and death. Your wisdom is boundless. Your love is deep. Your compassion is so wide that it's all I see. And so, Father, this morning, as I convey your word to this group of people at New Freedom, I pray, Father, that they come into a faith that is not their own. They come into a walk that is not their own. A strength that is not their own. A joy that is not their own. A peace, Lord, that is not their own. This is what I'm sensing from the Lord, that today, if you're at the end of yourself, I pray today that you come and you connect with the Lord. That you allow His boundless peace, His boundless grace, His boundless mercy to be bestowed into your spirit today. Today you may say, well, Pastor Jimmy, I don't even know the Lord. I've never really received Him as my Lord and Savior. Maybe today you're facing fears and struggles in your life. Friends can help you. Family can help you. But it's only the Lord that can deliver you. And so today, with everybody's head bowed and eyes closed, if that's you and the Lord's speaking to you, I want you to come. I want to pray for you. And know this altar is a time, a holy time. Know this, that this altar bears no shame. That when we come before the Lord, it's to be lifted up and encouraged. It's to be restored to the Father so that we can become new. If you're struggling today, I want you to come and I want to pray over you. I want to ask the Lord to encourage you, to build you up in your faith. Hallelujah. This is what I want us to do. I don't know where everybody's at, so let's pray with me. Father, I come to you today at the end of myself. I realize that I'm limited and that you're limitless. So today, I cast away all my sin. And I ask you, Lord, to come into my life and to make me clean, to make me holy, to make me a son of God. I choose today to serve you faithfully, to follow you even when I don't understand, to believe and to live in you, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that today, trust me, you have just tapped into a God that cares for you. A God that says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future." Now, when somebody tells me something that is of importance, I always say, consider the source. The source is God. Consider this. He made you. He formed you. He knows you by name. And before you were ever born, He called each and every day of your life into existence. Our job is to trust and to tap into a faith that is not of this world, so that we can live an extraordinary life through a limited vessel. I don't know about you, but I choose to trust and obey. Amen. Amen. Amanda, would you lead us in a song?